bad blood started a fight.
I've had some problems with her in the past.
You struck her first.
Yes, I did.
But her taste for blood landed them in court.
The defendant assaulted you by biting you.
She bit my arm to get away from me.
It's a good bite.
Who really crossed the line?
What made you follow them?
Because I thought we were invited to the party.
Judge Judy.
What telepathic message had you received that you were invited to a party?
You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheinman. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is her courtroom. This is Judge Judy. 28-year-old cook Cindy Moore is suing 26-year-old surgical technician Sarah Opsahl for biting her on the arm during a fight.
Order. All rise.
Yeah, this is case number 209 on the calendar in the matter of Moore versus Opsahl. Parties have been sworn in, Judge. You may be seated. Ladies, have seats, please.
Ms. Moore, it is your claim that the defendant assaulted you by biting you.
Correct.
After some sort of an altercation at a bar.
Yes.
So first tell me when this occurred.
This incident occurred on June 15th of 2000, between 2:15 in the morning.
Okay, where had you been earlier that evening?
I was at a local tavern very close to my house. I had just gone in and was drinking a few beers when...
What time had you arrived there?
Between 10 and 10:30, I would say, that night.
Okay. Go ahead.
The defendants came in and I...
The defendant came in. Was she with other people? You said they came in.
It was Tina Hall and Sarah Opsahl.
Had you known them from before that evening?
I had not known Sarah. I had known Tina because I've had some previous problems with her in the past.
What time did they come in?
About 2 o'clock. I know that it was definitely after 2 o'clock because the bartender wouldn't serve them because she had already called last call. So they were not allowed any beverages. And that's in essence what the start fight it over was, because Tina just walked up to my spot at the bar while I was shooting pool and stole my beer and started drinking my beer. And
your glass, your glass of beer?
It was a mini pitcher.
So you she saw just, Tina, that's this young lady.
I saw both of them walk up. Tina sat in the chair that I actually was sitting in, and I said, hey, you're drinking my beer.
And you said to Tina?
I said to Tina, and she turned around and looked at me, and she said, no, I'm not, shut up. And one of the persons that was giving me a ride home had said, hey, look, you know what? This girl's a troublemaker. Let's just get out of here. I set my pull stick down, and we exited the bar.
Did you have a car that evening?
I did.
And were you driving?
No.
Who was driving?
I was getting a ride home from an older gentleman who was a friend of my mother's, and also another gentleman around the same age as me.
So why didn't you drive home?
Because I felt like I was too drunk, I shouldn't be driving.
Okay, so you got a ride home. That's smart.
Yes.
And what happened?
We exited the front door and began walking towards the parking lot. The defendants came out and were yelling and screaming that they wanted to beat me up, we're gonna kick your butt, you told on us. What had happened, I found out the next day from the bar owner, was that they were caught drinking the beer and were kicked out and asked to leave because they were not served. So just at the time as they're making their way out of the front exit, the other man that was with us was making his way out of the rear exit, and they kind of met. They were yelling and screaming at him, where is she? We want to beat her up. We're going to take care of
you
this.
You heard
right
all,
now.
You heard them?
I heard them. I was just getting into the car at that point. He walked in and got into the vehicle we were riding in and shut the door, and he rolled the window down in an effort, I guess, to kind of get the last word in or whatever.
And say something stupid.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Sarah just hit him dead in the face. And
that is...
No way. Wait a second. Go ahead.
From there, we couldn't believe it, and I was telling the driver, just go, take off, and they were either punching or kicking on the windows of the car, trying to break the windows.
Whatever.
We exited through an alley that was just off of the parking lot, and by the time that we turned onto the street, they were in their vehicle already following us.
Did you go home? You being dropped off?
I did not go home, because I didn't want these girls to know where I lived, and I didn't want to have a fight with them. And they chased us around town for a good 15 to 20 minutes.
But they came a time when you did go home?
Yes.
Now what happened when you got home? Because that's where this incident took place.
Well, the whole time that they were chasing us, they were yelling and screaming things out of the windows and stuff. And when we pulled up in front of my house, they, of course, came to a dead stop behind us. And the male on the passenger side, I was sitting in the middle of the front seat. He told me, just wait in the car and I'll take care of these girls. I'll get rid of them. Both of the girls just kind of flew out of their vehicle and immediately started attacking him, beating on him, on his head and his face. And he did this kind of like football maneuver, I would call it. And he knocked them both down and they got up, continued to beat on him. At one point he actually—
I don't want to hear from you yet.
She is lying.
Did you hear what I said? I don't want to hear from you yet.
She is just—
I don't want to hear from you yet.
I know.
I don't like to raise my voice. You will have an opportunity to answer all of my questions.
Okay.
At one point, he actually had taken Tina by the shoulders and walked her to the vehicle, sat her in the seat, shut the door, and was about to do the same to Sarah. Tina got back out. They continued to beat on him. And that's when I made the stupid decision to get out of the car because I thought I was going to try to help stop it. And as soon as I got out of the car and I shut the door, Sarah was already approaching me. And I did not hesitate, and I began to beat her up. I had lost my temper by that point.
And what happened?
We had a knockdown, drag-out, rolling on the ground, beating each other fight. And what it came down to was I was getting the better of her, and she bit my arm to get away from me. At that point, the fight broke up, and I started to walk up to get on my front porch to go in my house. Just as soon as I turned my back to get on my porch, he flew down the stairs, told me to look out. They were both closing in on me, trying to continue the fight. And Sarah and I did continue again for probably another 5 minutes fighting.
Okay, so am I correct, Miss Moore, that, I want you to answer my questions honestly, that when you got out of the car and the defendant came and, as you said, rushed you, you struck her first?
Yes, I did.
And that started the brawl?
Yes.
Okay. Now, Ms. Opsahl,
mm-hmm.
You're at the bar.
Yes.
There's some words passed between mm-hmm. you.
First of all, I did not even talk to Cindy. I was talking with the bartender.
Okay.
I did not drink her beer.
Okay. There was some words passed. Now, mm-hmm. what I want to know is, you left at approximately the same time as the plaintiff left.
Yes.
Who was driving?
I was.
You were sitting in the passenger seat?
Yes, ma'am.
Where do you live in relation to the plaintiff?
I live in Wisconsin. It's over the bridge from her.
So nowhere near the plaintiff?
No.
What were you doing at her house?
I thought we were invited to an after-hours party.
Well, explain that to me. Shh! Explain that to me.
We were outside the tavern.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought Tina got invited because she knew them to this after party.
Well, let's get a hold of Tina. Tina,
yes.
Come up and stand up here. Who invited you to a party?
I don't know that I was even invited. We were just
going thought there. I thought she was.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Cindy Moore says, after an argument in a bar, Sarah Opsahl followed her home. Cindy claims a fight ensued and Sarah bit her on the arm.
You didn't know about any party?
No, ma'am.
So now, what made you think you were invited to a party?
Because Tina knew these two, the plaintiff.
What I'm asking you, madam, is what made you think if Tina didn't know anything about a party, what made you think that you were going to a party?
Because we got in the vehicle and we were following them.
Well, my question is, what made you follow them?
Because I thought we were invited to the party.
What telepathic message had you received that you were invited to a party?
Because she said follow them.
Tina said?
Yeah.
Even she's laughing at you.
She's not laughing.
Even she's laughing at you.
No, she's not.
Tina said follow them.
Yes.
And that's all she said to you. Follow them.
Did
is that what you're telling me?
Yes. You are just... You're trying to put words in my mouth. That
no, I'm not. I want to know what you were doing. You live in a different state from the plaintiff.
Yes.
In a different state. There were clearly words exchanged, not necessarily between you and the plaintiff, but perhaps between Tina and the plaintiff, outside the bar. You get into your car. Instead of going home at 2:30 in the morning, mm-hmm. you follow the car around town for a while because Tina told you to follow them. And you assumed it was to go to a party.
Yes.
Okay. You had no business being there?
Being where?
At her house.
I wasn't at her house.
Now,
I
was... yes, you were. You were at her house. Now, once at her house, Tina, you tell me what happened when you pulled up in front of her house.
When we got to her house, we all exited the vehicles.
Who's all?
Sarah, myself, Cindy, and her boyfriend or friend at the time. We were having words. I don't know.
You mean as
know.
Soon as you got out of the car, there started to be mm-hmm. an altercation?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And...
Not a party. Not a party.
Apparently
not.
Not
at the time?
Apparently not.
No.
Okay. Go ahead.
And her friend came up to me and literally did take me by the shoulders, but he didn't put me in the vehicle. He slammed me up against the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And then she seen that this was happening, so Sarah came over by me and asked him not to do that. You don't do that. And then somewhere along the line, that's when Cindy came over to her and bit her. There was no slapping. There was no punching, no rolling around, none of that.
Who bit whom?
Sarah did bite Cindy, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. Cindy was coming at her.
Self-defense. Not in my book. You wouldn't have been there to have to defend yourself if you hadn't followed them home looking for a fight.
I wasn't looking for a fight.
Oh, yes, you were.
No,
looking
I was
for a fight.
I was
not looking for a party. Looking for a fight.
Why would
Where
I
did she bite you?
For a fight?
I have no idea, madam. I have no idea why you're out 2:30 in the morning looking for a drink, period. And I have no idea why, if you live in one state, you follow her home to her house, which is in another... I'm speaking. Which is in
right
another
over
state.
The bridge. It is not another state to state.
I lived in Michigan. She lived in Wisconsin.
Just a minute. That's another state. I'm not really good at geography.
You don't
but
understand.
One state is Michigan, one state is Wisconsin. I don't care if it's just over a bridge. It's not your house.
I know
you followed her to her house. And you followed her to your house because she said, follow him. You said, oh, I guess she means follow. We're going to have a party with all these people who we didn't get along with at
for
the
a
tavern.
Fight.
All right, madam. I want you to step up here, and I want to see where she bit you.
I don't even know Cindy to look for a fight.
That's a good bite. Did you see a doctor?
I did see a doctor. I have my medical reports here.
Can I see it?
Well as photographs that documented what the injury was like.
Okay.
Did you make a police report about this?
The police were called by a neighbor at that time. I tried very hard to get the report before I came. I wasn't able to do so, and the police treated it very nonchalantly. The police told me that Sarah had came in earlier, had phoned, and said that I beat her up, and they just didn't really take the case very seriously at all.
I never even talked to a cop about that.
Yes.
What the police actually had said that night was that they weren't there to witness anything, and there were two sides to the story, as is now.
Now, there's only one side to the story.
Well,
madam, there's only one side to the story. If you weren't...
There are always two sides to every story.
Yes. No, that's what a court is for.
Exactly.
That's what a court is for. And but for the fact that you and your friend followed her to her house, this incident would not have happened. And you and I both know that you weren't following her to her house to go to a party. You were following her to her house because there was bad blood. When that started, I haven't a clue. But you precipitated this because they were on their way home. You weren't on your way home. You were on your way looking for trouble, and you found it. Judgment for the plaintiff in the amount of $3,000. That's all.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
She lied.
If it weren't for Tina, none of this would have ever happened.
Right. She did not lie.
She did.
Don't she
you
did.
Weren't
you
even
guys
there.
Lied.
And now the next case.
All parties in the matter of Anderson versus Liebler, step forward, please.
22-year-old homemaker Shauna Anderson is suing her ex-boyfriend, 21-year-old clerk Caleb Liebler, for an unpaid loan for bail. Caleb says he paid her back.
Miss Anderson, the defendant was a former boyfriend of yours.
Yes.
There came a time when you were angry with him about something, and according to you, you knew that he had stolen something.
Yes.
A stereo, a car stereo. And in order to get back at him, you told the person from whom he had stolen the stereo that he stole the stereo. Is that right?
It wasn't really to get back at him. I was also, I was knew the person. And
a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
You weren't being a good Samaritan.
No.
He was arrested.
Yes.
and you felt a little bit guilty. So you decided you would help him out and bail him out.
Yes.
The bail money was $500.
Yes.
Then, according to you, he asked you if he could use that bail money to pay his lawyer.
Yes.
You said, okay, but yes. It's a loan.
Yes.
Now, you, Mr. Liebler, acknowledged that it was a loan.
Yes.
Your defense is that you paid her back.
Yes.
Okay? So now we have the facts, and now you have to show me how you paid her back, right?
Yes.
When did you take the $500 and give it to the lawyer? What date?
Sometime in April.
April
of 2000.
Of 2000?
Of 2000. This case is 14 months old.
When did you pay her back?
I paid her back from that point on until I left for jail at the end of August.
How did you pay her?
I paid her in...
Now look at me. Don't look at
the
sky.
I paid her back in payments. We worked together at Friendly's. We lived together.
From April until August?
Earlier than that.
He did not live with me.
I lived with her in that residence from February until May.
When did you start paying her back? After you separated?
I started paying her back after I left.
After you left the house?
I went back home, still working with her, though, at Friendly's. We ended up getting back together.
Okay.
I did not move back with her. I stayed at home, but we were together.
You saw each other?
Right.
Fine.
And whenever she needed money on the weekends, she'd come up to me saying, you owe me money. I need money this weekend. I'm broke. Can I get paid? You know, can you give me something? So I would give her $60, $80 here and there. She does not have a license. She doesn't have a car.
Don't go into extraneous stuff.
I'm not.
You would give her $60, $80.
I'm not.
You have to tell me when.
When? On weekends, Fridays, Saturday nights.
May 2000.
I don't want to hear from you now. It's up to him to convince me that he's paid you back. So I have weekends, $60 or $80.
Yeah, from the end of May through June, on weekends, Friday, Saturday nights. She comes up to me at work. I want to go to a rave. I want to go to the club. I want to go out this weekend. I have no money. Do you have something for me? Would she even ask me for a receipt, but I'm being at work. I'm a cook. I'm greasy and stuff like that. I'm not going to take a receipt and stuff in my pocket. So I just never asked for a receipt. I would give her money on weekends. She lived a half an hour from her job, so there were certain times where I'd ever actually give her money for hotel rooms to stay in so she did not have to drive back up to Saratoga,
either.
You know, to go home. Because she doesn't have a car. Sometimes we'd work until 2 o'clock in the morning. I paid for hotel rooms just for her to stay in.
You stayed in them, too.
Right. Right?
Sometimes.
All the time.
Not all the time.
Miss Anderson.
We...
Stop doing the weave dance. And keep your mouth closed until I ask you a question.
Okay.
Do you understand?
Yes.
What else, Mr. Liebler?
What else? I'll have to say that while I was living with her, there was many expenses.
No, I'm not talking about before. Before May, I'm not interested in.
I gave her money, handouts, whenever she needed it.
Handouts is not the return of a loan.
But that's what it was in terms of. That's what she'd bring up.
She'd
bring up, you owe me money.
Mr. Liebler, you added in this pot motel rooms that you paid for that you also stayed in.
No, not all the time.
Yeah.
How many times?
I'd say twice. I'd say at least twice.
At least twice, maybe three times.
No, twice.
Well, get a receipt. Judgment for the plaintiff in the amount of $500. Next time, get a receipt.
Pardon our excuse. You may step out.
I'm just glad it's over. I'm getting my money.
I would understand if, you know, it was sometime during the summer when after it happened, she'd bring me to court. I don't see why someone would wait almost a year and a half, you know, to bring something up.
He was incarcerated. How was I supposed to get my money back when he was in jail?